Morning, everyone. That song gets me every time. I just love it. It's been a song that's moved me for years. I first want to start with a prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving me this opportunity to speak about who you are and what you've done. And God, I know when we share our testimony and when we declare your goodness and kindness, that there's power in that moment and that you're moving on hearts. And I know when we declare what you've done for us, that you're laying an invitation for others to step into that, as well as to say, if I did it for one, I can do it for you. I love how it says in Revelations 12:11 that they overcame him, talking about the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Heavenly Father, I pray as I share my testimony today that you would move on hearts and that you would bring freedom and a breakthrough with an encounter with your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I celebrate 283 days sober. Yeah. I grew up right outside of Milford Center, Ohio, not far from here, on a small 11-acre farm. My parents, Ambrose and Linda Phillips, are here today. And they'll be celebrating 60 years of marriage in June. Yeah. I have one brother, Scott, that's 17 months older than myself. And life as a child was full of fun adventures around the farm. I got a little slide here I want to show you. There I am with my dad. As you can see in this picture, I learned at a young age, helping parents with chores around the house and doing things that needed to be accomplished was something that we did together. I loved being outside and all the animals. I can remember one afternoon, I found a nest of eggs out in the field, and I was so excited. And I grabbed up this nest of eggs and this nest, and brought it in, and my mom was on the party line. Do you guys remember the party line, phone lines? Yeah. And I set that nest down of those little field mice, and they just start darting all over. And my mom's like, get them! Amber, get them out of here! Oh, my. It was fun, wasn't it, Mom? Yeah. I don't know who was on the other end of that line, But I was involved in 4-H and FFA. Fun fact about me, I was Union County Sheep Princess one year. Yeah. So, just a fun fact. Both of my parents gave their life to Christ as young adults, and it was important to them to raise their kids in the church community. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old enough, they will not depart from it. I loved going to church. I never remembered them having to ask me to go. I just was ready to go. I loved the youth group that I was involved in at the Marysville Church of the Nazarene. I loved going to church camp every summer because I got to see the friends that went to the different churches around our district. So I was so excited to be able to reconnect with them. I will never forget giving my life to Christ at a young age too, as Evangelist Crabtree gave the call. Amen. To come to the altar. And if you didn't get the opportunity to hear him as an evangelist, he was powerful. I was an active student at Fairbanks High School. I was a cheerleader. I did flag corps, band, student council. But where I really fit in was that youth group and that church. I did attend several high school parties that had alcohol. and drugs available, but I never had a desire to participate. And I never felt peer pressure either, like you hear sometimes. I didn't have that. I was one of the oldest in my class because I'd taken fourth grade twice. But one of the benefits was I got my driver's license early. So I was the driver home from a lot of those parties. And I didn't really think about it till later. Both of my parents had negative experiences with alcohol. They encouraged my brother and I not to even try it because it wasn't going to lead to anything positive. I loved fashion. I loved doing people's hair. I loved makeup. If you wanted your hair permed or colored, if you wanted your makeup done when I was in high school and college, or an outfit for something special, I was your girl. I had you covered. I had originally decided to attend Ohio State School for Cosmetology and was accepted, but instead I decided to go to Mount Vernon Nazarene College for business, accounting, and marketing. Honda was only a few miles from our home, and they had a summer college program that you could make good money to help with college, and I needed to make funds to help pay for college. My brother was a Honda employee, so I applied for a position and I got one. I worked that summer and the next, and during my time there, I met a young man with a fun personality. He was different than anyone I dated, and I really hadn't dated that much. He enjoyed life in a different way. He enjoyed socializing with his friends and having drinks. He knew I was not a drinker, and he didn't push that on me at all. Our relationship became more serious, and he proposed. Our initial plan was to wait to get married until I graduated from college, but due to finding out I had endometriosis that could make it difficult for me to get pregnant, we decided to go ahead and marry. So I graduated early from college with a business administration's degree. I got pregnant right away and had a daughter 1 month prior to our 1 year anniversary, and I was so happy. I just loved my little girl. I found myself married to someone who was struggling with alcohol. I started going to Al-Anon to learn about alcoholism and to support him. I found myself comparing what I thought my parents' marriage was to my marriage. My relationship with my Heavenly Father was becoming less important. My focus became the chaos in my life and trying to do things in my strength. I had our son 5 years after our daughter, and our marriage had become this roller coaster of ups and downs. I had found peace in eating. I would eat even when I wasn't hungry because it brought me joy. I enjoyed eating. I had gained so much weight and found myself not able to control that desire to eat. I would go through McDonald's and I would order a meal, have it eaten before I got home, and then eat another full meal. It's the truth. My weight gain left me feeling ugly, unworthy, and defeated. I decided to have the gastric bypass surgery to help me gain control. I lost all the weight and decided I did not have to live life this way anymore. Once again, I found myself focusing on things I thought I could control and not seeking God's desire for my life. My husband and I divorced after 12 years of marriage, and I found myself a single mom of two. It was during this time that I started dating and found myself going out to bars to socialize. Prior to the divorce, I wasn't a drinker, and I would have said, I'll never have an alcohol problem. I married my husband, Doug, 19 years ago. He's not a drinker, and we have a blended family of 5 children and 8 grandchildren. He's been on this journey with me since my drinking had started just a couple of years prior to meeting him. My drinking journey started with Moscato. If you know anything about wine, Moscato's that, what they call the beginner wine, I guess. And I had some people share with me, Amber, that's just the beginner wine. You need to expand your palate. Try some more robust options. Yeah. At first, I only drank when I went out. I didn't bring it in the house. Then I started buying a bottle to have in the evenings after the kids went to bed, maybe when I was soaking in the tub, or when friends would come over. I was working two jobs to make sure my kids were taken care of. Then over the years, I became obsessed with being successful in my careers. I would work all the time while taking on any volunteer position presented to me. These things became a surface-level, low self-esteem booster for me. I was putting on several different masks to be everything to everybody, but not being authentically me, the beautiful woman that God created me to be. Everyone else got the best of me, and my family got the leftovers. Tired, worn out, grumpy Amber. Once again, trying to do things in my own power and strength and not seeking God's desire for my life. I found myself sharing with the world around me this picture-perfect Amber, when in truth I was a hot mess express behind closed doors. I'm not kidding about that. It was a mess. As time went on, I found alcohol becoming more and more important to me. In the beginning, I could control my drinking, but over time, it controlled me. By the end, the last year, it was all I was thinking about. I knew I had a serious issue when I started thinking about drinking when I woke up. I don't know about you, but I always heard, you know, an alcoholic when they're drinking, thinking about alcohol when they wake up. And that, I can tell you, that's true. I'd started drinking in isolation. I didn't want others to know how much I was drinking. I had switched from wine to vodka because I was gaining weight. Isn't that a good reason? You know? My moral and value compass had become so skewed. I was making choices that I knew were wrong, but I did them anyways. For example, drinking and driving, lying about how much I was drinking, blaming others for why I was drinking. In 2022, I knew I needed help. I had tried several times to stop on my own, and each time I would be good for a few days, just like when you start that diet for the first time. Then I'd be right back at it. I can remember each of those times I felt tremendous guilt and shame. I would think, why can I not get control of this problem? I would sit and cry. I had this song I would listen to over and over again. Oh, my word, as I lay in bed. My parents had given me a CD that our friend had created by writing songs that God gave him during his recovery. I loved the whole CD, but one song I would find myself playing over and over. I asked Mike, the writer of this song, if he'd come and share it today. So I'm going to give him a moment to share this song. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, I didn't know any of that. And I can relate to all of it, you know. But I tell you, the Lord gave me this song at a time and that I needed a song like this. It's funny how you'll sing a song and you're not singing it. I'm not singing it for you or you specifically, but it does. It can speak to all of us, but it speaks to me, and I think that's why the Lord gave it to me, just so I would remember to draw a line in the sand every day. How long must we struggle? Temptation turned to sin. keep saying I'm sorry over and over again. When Lord is just waiting for us to give our all, He loves us still. It's a matter of will, and He won't make that call. 'Cause there comes a time, gotta draw a line in the sand and show the Lord just exactly where we stand. Make a decision in our lives. What we plan to do, is it gonna be me, Lord, or is it you? Trials, we wonder how we can make it through. Help us lean on the promise, we can always count on you. When we're filled with the Spirit, you say there's nothing we can't bear. I've seen the promises true. Friends are still praising you. They're not going anywhere. 'Cause there comes a time we gotta draw a line in the sand and show the Lord just exactly decision in our life, just what we plan to do. Is it gonna be me, Lord, or is it you? Is there something in our lives we can't let go? And we think that we can hide it all from you. And are there others who have a peace that we don't know? You keep on telling us there's one thing we can do. There comes a time we gotta draw a line in the sand and show the Lord just exactly where we stand and make a decision in our lives. Just what gonna be me, Lord, or is it you? Gotta make a decision in our lives. What we plan to do, is it gonna be me, Lord, or is it? Gonna be me, Lord, or is it you?
that beautiful? Well, I knew I had to make a decision. I had reached out to a rehab center 1 year prior to going that I'd found by plugging in faith-based rehabs in the Google search. I called them a year prior, and then I decided not to go at that time. But this time, I knew I had to go. I couldn't do it on my own. I decided I had to go. I found their number on my phone where they had left me a voicemail. And on that initial contact, they kept calling me over that next year. And I saved one of those messages and was able to call them. I had my best friend Lisa and Doug with me when I made the call on June 9th of 2023. I was on a plane by June 11th to a rehab facility called URP in Florida. When I arrived, I felt ready to face this beast called alcoholism head on. I felt I was ready to do what it took to beat this disease. I quickly found myself, though, falling and slipping back into old patterns of self-will, wanting to be in control. They even told me that at rehab. Wanting things my way. I not had anything to drink since the 8th and had no craving for alcohol, which was a miracle, really. I couldn't imagine that. Prior to that, I could not go one day without wanting alcohol. I wasn't thinking about the prayer team of prayer warriors of support that I'd left behind. I was still in me mode, thinking, I could make this happen. I'm at rehab. I'm going to do what I got to do. Part of our rehab experience was these self-care classes. And one I enjoyed attending was a music therapy class. I was about 2 weeks in and decided to attend one of these classes. And as I lay on the floor in this dark room, and there was this soft music playing, and the instructor started playing her flute with the soft music, and a peace came over me. I started to cry. I felt the moving of the Holy Spirit all over me. I left that class and went straight to my room and sat on my bed. And I heard the words, "Leave the guilt and shame here, Amber. I have you. Go share your story with no reservation." I cried tears of relief. I left that room changed that day. I still struggle with thoughts of guilt and shame. But each time, I had those same words come to me so clearly. I'd been learning and sharing so freely during my time at the Genesis Rehab Center, and I don't think it's any mistake that I was at the Genesis Rehab Center. It was so therapeutic to be with a group of others that had no judgment, but understood when you shared your experiences with alcohol and drugs. I dove into my counseling and classes like a kid that couldn't learn enough. I missed my family, but I decided to stay for additional time to continue with therapy and treatment. One of my counselors dove into my self-esteem issues. It was so crazy to learn that I had self-esteem issues. I always felt I had great self-esteem because I was outgoing and friendly. When she asked me to write positive statements about myself, I could not think of one thing. I could not think of one thing to say nice about myself. I'd gone to such a place of isolation, guilt, and shame from my addiction that I felt like I was worthless. It took some time, but I can not only say, but I believe. There's a slide here. I believe I am beautiful. Psalms 139:13-14, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I am chosen. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. I am made for a purpose. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I am a precious child of God. John 1:12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. I am love forever. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appeared to us saying, I have loved you with everlasting love. I've drawn you with unfailing kindness. I know without a shadow of a doubt. Once again, I am. In this slide, we were in Amish country, and I took this picture, and it was in this little shop, and this has been years, and it just hit me, but it's perfect. I am deeply loved, completely forgiven, God's masterpiece, chosen and set apart, secure in Christ. I left rehab with a plan to attend IOP locally back home, as well as getting involved in our local AA community. When I initially left home for rehab, though, my thought was, I'm just going to go get the help I need and then come home and go back to life, so no one would know I had struggled with alcoholism. God had other plans, and he'd worked on me and showed me his unconditional love and grace through those working at the treatment center, from the aides to the counselors to the nurses, the office staff, the instructors, the leaders that would come in and lead AA meetings, and the pastors there. I saw his love and grace every time I received a card of encouragement. And there's several of you here today that are friends and family that gave that to me while I was there. But above all, I saw his love and grace through the lives of each person that was there as a patient, just like me. I was so thankful God kept working on me to leave the guilt and shame in Florida, and by the time I left, I did just that. Shame and guilt are feelings that can burden us. However, as Christians, we can trust that God has set us free from all the things that cause shame and guilt to come upon us. If you've trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God has removed your guilt and covered your shame. Just as he covered Adam and Eve's shame, despite their wrongdoing, something interesting happened. In Genesis 3:21, God made tunics of skin and clothed them. He covered their nakedness so they would be ashamed no more. He has done the same for you by offering his son. Unfortunately, the feelings of shame and guilt can immobilize and confine us to mental and emotional bondage. Understanding shame and guilt in a way that sets you free can only come from God. Cling to these promises when you feel guilt and shame coming to you. I had asked the pastor to hand out, it's a list of scripture. There is so much scripture around guilt and shame in the Bible. And I passed that out. And if you're struggling with guilt and shame, I want to encourage you to put this up I mean, all throughout your home, wherever, cover yourself with God's word over guilt and shame. And some of these verses I want to share with you. I'm not going to share them all, but I want to highlight a couple of them. Psalms 31:1, "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness." Romans 8:1, "There is, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Romans 10:1, "For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Hebrews 8:12, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." 1 Peter 4:16, "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter." 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So, got another slide here, but I've asked my precious friends, John, Darcy, Neil, which they were definitely a part of the prayer warrior team and card showering team during my time, but I've asked them to sing a closing song for us. If you feel caught in a stronghold that has you feeling guilt and shame, and there are so many things out there. Alcohol's just one of them. I encourage you to come right up here. Don't stay in it. Don't let it fester. There's a team of people here that would love to pray with you and encourage you today. The first Sunday after I returned from rehab, I came here to church, and it was that Sunday that they announced the new Cornfield ministry for those struggling with any kind of addiction. That's no coincidence, folks. No coincidence at all. I looked at my husband and just started crying. God had me covered. He knew exactly what I needed and was preparing a way for me right in this new church family. I thank this church for their warm welcome that you've given to both Doug and I, and for giving us a place to grow and be strengthened and encouraged in our faith. Thank you for allowing me to share my glory story today. I read this on one of the sites for Gretna, and I found it fitting for today. From Gretna Brethren Church, "If you have found yourself here, it's not an accident. God is working, whether you know it or not, to write a story for your life. At Gretna, we are all on a journey, pursuing God through the grace of his Son, Jesus Christ. Maybe your journey and ours are crossing here. No matter your background, you're welcome here. We are farmers, line workers, managers, and executives. We are broken yet saved, unworthy yet blessed, and most importantly, people living in this world. We suffer tragedy, and that's right here around us for sure right now, and find success. Most of all, we are followers of Jesus Christ. We're excited about Jesus and believe that he really is the answer to the questions of life, the source of love, and the provider of true hope."